Festive greetings, friends. It is time for us to look back with fondness and a little bit of cringing on 2018. Myself, Johnny and Yusuf put on our best Christmas jumpers and sat down to do a year in review, moving through our favourite life hacks, our favourite life fails, what our plans are going to be as we move forward into 2019, and hopefully give you some ideas for habits and routines that you may be able to bring into your New Year's plan. As always, please spread the festive cheer and life hacks by sharing the episode with anyone who you think would enjoy it. It would make me very happy indeed. And I can't really think of a better Christmas present that you could give me than sharing the episode with some friends who'd love it. So all that's left to say is enjoy the episode. I hope you have a very lovely Christmas and a happy new year. We are going to be releasing a bloopers episode, which is a collection of all of the times that we've messed up while trying to record something slick. And that will be appearing on the Modern Wisdom YouTube channel very soon. So head there, press subscribe, and you will not miss out on seeing us look very silly over and over and over again. Merry Christmas, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Crafted London. Finding men's jewellery that doesn't suck is very difficult, and Crafted London have nailed it. They are the number one men's jewellery company worldwide. They're sweatproof, waterproof, heatproof, and gymproof. They've got custom designs in gold and silver, necklaces, chains, pendants, bracelets, rings, and earrings. If you've seen me on any of the big cinema episodes on YouTube wearing a necklace, it will always be from Crafted. I absolutely love it. It works with formal wear, casual wear, whether it's daytime or nighttime. All of their pieces are super high quality. The designs are great, and I love them. It's all I wear. Also, they have an unlimited lifetime guarantee, so if your piece breaks for any reason at any point during the entire life of the product, they will give you a new one for free. Get a 15% discount site-wide on everything by going to bit.ly/cdwisdom and using the code MW15 at checkout. That's bit.ly/letter C letter D wisdom and MW15 at checkout. All right, quick maths. The less that your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money that you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce the costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you are improving efficiency by bringing all your business processes into one platform. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the maths and see how you will profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/modern right now. That's netsuite.com/modern. This episode is brought to you by Whoop. I've worn Whoop for over 4 years now, since way before they were a partner on the show, and it is the only wearable I have ever stuck with because it's the best. It is so innocuous, you do not remember that you've got it on, and yet it tracks absolutely everything 24/7 via something from your wrist. It tracks your heart rate, it tracks your sleep, your recovery, all of your workouts, your resting heart rate variability, how much you're breathing throughout the night. It puts all of this into an app and spits out very simple, easy to understand, and fantastically usable data. It's phenomenal. I am a massive, massive fan of Whoop, and that is why it's the only wearable that I've ever stuck with. You can join for free, pay nothing for the brand new Whoop 4.0 strap. Plus, you get your first month for free, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can buy it for free, try it for free, and if you do not like it, after 29 days, they will give you your money back. Head to join.whoop.com/modernwisdom. That's join.whoop.com/modernwisdom.
A very Merry Christmas to you. Welcome back. I'm joined by Johnny and Yusuf from Propane Fitness.
Hi there.
Hello.
as you can Merry see, Christmas. We are festively adorned.
Merry Crimble.
For that time of the year. And for the listeners at home...
Christmas Winky.
For the listeners at home, we have a special present for you as well, don't we, Jonathan?
The specialist of presents. Oh.
If on the count of three, you say the word lights, on one,
very
two, three, lights.
Oh.
Look at that.
So wonderful.
For the Warms people who are not watching on YouTube, Johnny is lit up, very spangly, Christmas jumper, which is... available from Next, I think, discount code like Johnny Watson 25 for 25% off.
Yeah.
It's lovely, man. Can it stop now?
I don't know.
My epilepsy's going to kick in.
Maybe if we say lights again. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Lights. Still on.
Didn't work.
That's shit. Right, anyway. So, we are going to do a year in review. We're going to talk about the best life hacks that we've come up with this year, what habits we have set, which we think have worked, talk about some massive fails, of which there will be numerous examples, and then maybe discuss some plans going into 2019. So by the end of this episode, you may have got some inspiration for some habits that you can instantiate as we move forward into the new year. And if not, you will be able to laugh at some of our failures from the last one. Also, you will notice that our friend Robin is perched upon the top of the mic.
Not called Martin.
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 He's South African.
It's Robin. Okay, so...
Flown a long way.
Johnny.
You're going to start with me. You're going to start with me.
Okay, scone.
It's like hot potato. Off you go.
There you go. Potato. Catch this.
Yusuf's got a big bowl of hot potatoes.
He's got loads. Yusuf.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest fail.
It is Christmas. It is Christmas. It is the time of giving. I want you to give the listeners at home a massive Yusuf fail.
Big fail.
From this year.
Yeah. I just failed into this year, to be honest. So I started this year having just come out of hospital.
It was the jitus.
I got the jitus. So I'd had three or four infections just back to back, ended up in hospital for 8 or 9 days, and then came out, 10-day retreat instantly, and then came out of the retreat into the new year at 67 kilos, which is 10 kilos below my baseline. So I started on a low and actually managed to build up this year over that time. If you've followed Propane for a while, you'd have seen that I turned this into a kind of journalistic piece called Project Swole, where I invited anyone who's had a bit of a rough time over the previous few months to join me in coming back to baseline.
Swoldom.
Back to Swoldom.
Real Swoldom.
Yeah, and it was great, actually. It's really good to know that... You can't really undo years of training, even if you do have like a bit of a shock.
Real catastrophic period. Yeah, that's quite nice. I mean, you entered the year quite badly. I entered the year very, very badly because I contracted the norovirus as I was in Manchester on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I remember that.
2017 into 2018, didn't I?
Just out of both ends.
So, yeah, I found myself in Manchester running one of our events down there, suffering the beginning of vomiting and diarrhea. Without it hadn't onset yet because it's like what's it called, breaking the seal. Like I hadn't broken the seal yet, so I felt uncomfortable. It needed to come out. But I was left at 3 a.m. in Manchester with the awkward decision of like, what do I do now? It's 3 a.m. I'm not going to be able to find a hotel. It's 3 a.m. in Manchester on New Year's Eve. Definitely not going to be in any hotels. I can ask to stay with a friend, but if I ask to stay with a friend, I'm going to have to ask to have their toilet for the evening and just destroy it, or I can try and drive home, remembering that I live 3 hours away from Manchester. So I chose that option, the quickest ever journey from Manchester to Newcastle I've had. Burst through the door straight into my bathroom and then lifted myself off my feet with the pressure of nausea that came out
there's
of my
nothing
mouth.
Like the urgency where it's like, oh god,
it's gonna come, yeah, it's gonna happen.
I think it's good. I think it's a great feeling.
You just like things coming out of you, don't you? Well, you love things.
Chris, find me someone who doesn't.
Fair enough. If you don't like things coming out of you, please comment below.
All stuff going out of you feels mint.
Does feel pretty good, actually.
Some stuff going into you, but not all stuff.
Some things going in,
I think the lion's share of things. Because remember, for something to come out of you...
It's had to go in.
You already have control over that selection of things.
Yeah.
But I could put anything into you.
Yeah.
What if you got stealth penetrated?
That's going to be the trailer for the
It is. Podcast, it always is.
You're
Johnny,
always stealth porked.
Yeah. Every time.
Johnny,
pigs in blankets.
Oh, actually, yeah. So can you explain how you navigate through the Christmas food being Muslimic?
So last year it was fine because I was in a monastery where it was purely vegetarian, so you could just go free.
What about usually?
Usually, to be honest, I stealth porking happens with things like pizza where there's pepperoni under the cheese, or you have a ravioli. Italian food, basically, Italians are really naughty and stealthy. Christmas food, like, you can, the pork is obvious. It's like sausages wrapped in bacon. That is like,
I mean, that's haram as fuck, isn't it?
Pork center.
Motherfuck bastard.
So you stay away from that. But turkey, cranberries, I suppose it's the booze, isn't it?
I ate a Christmas themed sandwich recently that had chestnut in.
Oh, which, no.
Fuck. But not a nut, apparently.
Oh my god.
I learnt this as I was frantically Googling.
Like, while you were eating it?
I'd eaten it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Gone. Down the hatch.
It's gone.
And you've seen how quickly I eat a sandwich.
Can you tell us about the sandwich at the wedding?
So that was leading into this year. Yeah.
Okay, yep.
So I've had a wedding. I've done a lot of weddings this year. Actually, it's been the year of the wedding.
Oh, it really has.
So I ate a sandwich that
wedding
was
a week for a year.
Not really. You'd learn a lot, though. So there was a pudding that was like an apple strudel that was homemade, and I was like looking at it going, not sure. Was assured by everybody there that it was nut-free. It was then like a plate of sandwiches. So I got a bit of strudel, a couple of sandwiches, sit down, and I'm speaking to my girlfriend's gran, essentially.
You'd think the strudel would be the high-risk thing, because that's where someone would be like sprinkle bits.
Precisely.
Like,
so I was like, almonds. I'm like, got it at arm's length. Right. I'm thinking, I'll look at that later. And my girlfriend's gran has this thing that every time she sees me, the first thing she does is asks whether I've got my EpiPen with me. Like, first question. So I'm like, because she has this fear.
Very granny.
So I was speaking to her, right? Sandwich one down, average. Sandwich two down, average again.
What were the sandwiches? Because they were very PG choice.
So the first one was like, I think, so all of them had the crust cut off. Very wedding.
Yeah.
Very wedding. So it's crust cut off, like different types of bread, like cheese and pickle, cucumber, chicken mayo, like all that sort of stuff. So I'd just eaten the cucumber one and like mouth just goes mental, like instant pins and needles in your mouth, instant like lips, pins and needles. So this is actually, funnily enough, why I said this about the sick thing, because the first thing I do, so I'm like sat speaking to my girlfriend's aunt thinking, I can't say anything to her.
Because she'll lose her
shit. Bear in mind, there's a wedding going on. So, like, I don't want for it to all descend into panic.
I haven't actually got my EpiPen, but I just want to think I'm starting to feel.
Also going into anaphylaxis.
Because it might be anaphylaxis, it might not be. If it is, it'll be happening pretty quickly. So I need to pop off. So I was like, right, no problem. This has happened before. Just made myself sick. Hadn't eaten anything all day up until that. So it was the first food I'd eaten.
Mm.
And it's all solid. So, like, fingers down the back of your throat, try and make yourself sick, and just nothing happens.
So
like,
you give yourself a real going over then with your fingers.
Oh, God. Well, I'm thinking, like, options are...
life or death. Like, I'm going
to
make myself
go
sick.
Go through this. Make myself sick.
This is what it's like to be a young Geordie girl on a first night out of Newcastle, isn't it? This is what it's like to be an extra on Geordie Shore.
Yeah, exactly that. That's exactly how I felt. And I remember seeing a clip on Casino Royale when Daniel Craig...
Salt
and water. But I'm in the toilet of a castle.
Where do you find salt?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Apart from back in the room. So I thought, it's all right. Went back into the room. Went over to my girlfriend and went, I'm having a nut reaction. And it was weird. I expected like, she just went, no problem, let's go get the EpiPen. And that was more worrying than what was happening to me. Because if she'd been panicked, I'd be like, it's okay, everything's normal. But she was like, action station. And that was the first time I was like, oh my God, I might imagine if I died. I'd be right. Bollock on that. Like, all the stuff I haven't
finished.
That
was the constant fear I had in the monastery, in the meditation.
You were adamant that you were going to pass away, wasn't it? And then were you not sure that your mum had had an accident as well?
So it wasn't that I was going to die. It was that, like, my phone's away. I've got no contact with the outside world. My mum's died. Johnny's had anaphylaxis.
Mm.
Girlfriend's broken up with me, and I'm going to lose my leg because I'd had a
numbness in the leg, didn't you?
Yeah, I'd
like, thinking about how to modify your car.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the brakes put on the car. And I'm going to come out. Johnny will have eaten an M&M, and
that'll be that.
So
yeah, so I didn't die. I just had a very, it was like an Alton Towers ride. for about it's, 4 hours.
The terminology. You watched the film.
I watched the Steve Jobs film, but only once I sort of come out. It's awful, to be honest. Like,
What are the effects of anaphylaxis? Is it just?
So I didn't go into anaphylactic shock. So
what was it that you say? You rode just below the anaphylactic crest.
So I've had a few minor nut reactions before, and they were very tame. Like PG 12A at most.
Yeah,
this was 18. Like this was
R-rated. Instant feeling as well.
So. Instant and oh. and as well. Bear in mind, so it was in the cucumber sandwich. So it was cucumber and pesto.
The most PG
pesto one. Made from pine nuts.
Cashew or okay. something else. Yeah, but not good. Like did not sit well with me.
We were saying the other day. So it was three doctors describing how would they deal with someone who's,
shit,
who's
yeah.
going.
It was at your birthday, wasn't it?
So we went to your birthday in a Lebanese restaurant, and I said to the, so there's nuts on the menu, and I asked the lady, is there nuts in this? She's like, no, there's no nuts in the kitchen. I'm like,
well, okay. Obviously is
I can see kitchen. That there's nuts in the kitchen.
it's like, so when I'm allergic to oyster sauce, and I went to this Korean sandwich place, and I was like, is there any oyster sauce used in the chicken sandwich? And the guy was like, oh no, don't worry, it's totally vegan. And you're like, that's just discredited anything you can possibly say now.
Mate,
more than anything.
I'm not gonna get anything from you.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I have a question.
So we were saying, like, how if you didn't have an EpiPen, how would you keep someone stable when they're getting anaphylaxis without that? And we're thinking, well, I don't know, because like
David had a biro in his pocket and he was like, I'm gonna give you a trichotomy with this biro pen.
In there.
Like one of the guys Julian was gonna turn him upside down.
Without hesitating, I'd turn you upside down.
Okay. Upside down, shake and scream
for adrenaline.
Yeah, just try and agitate someone as much as
I would love to see anyone try and turn a 100 kilo person upside down.
I think of the selection people I know, the group of people there that night.
Let me tell you what would have been
a jerk.
I tell you what would have been a fairly okay way to do it. Stack chairs on top of tables, move the tables apart, sumo squat you from the sumo deadlift you from the floor,
and then just standing stay on a chairs. Lockout.
Yep. Just stay stand at the top, yeah.
Yeah, one leg each.
The way to do it, the only risk is with a sumo deadlift, the force is going that
you'd
way.
You'd have to have two people on either side. People on either side, and then you'd just have a rotation of people holding you at max.
Ideally, you'd have some kind of grip or straps with you.
You need to have a screamer on the bottom holding your head. Just so you just stay agitated.
I'd use you as shoelaces as like straps.
Going have you seen the film with Jason Statham in where he gets poisoned and he has to keep his adrenaline high?
Yeah, I have.
Crank.
Crank, yeah. And then there was Crank 2 where he had to use electricity.
Yeah.
So we should watch that.
He like puts his hand in a toaster, like goes all crazy shit.
Yeah. That's you.
Okay,
so moving on, let's go on to a good habit or one of your favourite habits or one of your favourite routines that you've managed to add to your life this year.
Right. So I think habits has been journaling. I got an app on my laptop called Day One. Absolutely brilliant. I know you two did it properly. You got the 6 minute diary.
I have Day One.
I've got Day One as well.
I have Day One for a long time.
Do you both use it?
I use Day One for very, very specific things. Obviously, you can take photos in it and it's password protected. Mm-hmm. So it's got a lot of like significant moments.
Okay.
Me too.
So I don't use it as a diary. It's just kind of insights that come up. And I'm sure 6 minute diary would formalize it and ask you the probing questions, but this is more just like things that come up that are important to note down, bash them out, and then you have a chronological order of it all.
I've kept two journals, one in Day One and one in Evernote. And I did them pretty consistently.
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember just getting to the point where I was like without creating a separate habit, which is going back and reviewing this stuff, I'm not sure what I'm getting out of it. So what are you get out of it, why do you keep doing it?
Yeah, so I have a process for that now because I realised that a lot of the last 10 years, it's probably since before I got Evernote, I would just mindlessly accumulate summaries of books that I'd been reading and just pile stuff in. So now, Evernote, copy the link, paste it into Pocket, read the audio on Pocket, or listen to the audio on Pocket while I'm driving, or read the audio at certain increments. And you can set timed reminders with Evernote so that you can look at a book that you've read a while ago and
so you're basically using the Anki periodizing system take you back through.
I know there was that long article that George sent that's like really taking Anki to its full level
extreme.
And you know, putting your whole life into it, but I think that's quite a laborious process. Johnny is, and I'm always inspired by your ability to implement just so like grateful and
listen, yeah. Man. So, honestly. No, darling, no, yeah. Man, like, you complete me, yeah.
Of the ability
I'm to telling you, man.
Telling you.
Before the lights are going again.
To just, you read a book, you take some lesson from it, and you implement it straight away of just-in-time learning rather than just-in-case.
That, yeah, that's a ferritism.
It's a, yeah, it's a Naval.
I think the, it just never, it's never made sense to me to make notes on a book. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I think people think that once they've taken notes, it's like, I've done that now.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got that just in case I need it.
It's so easily like, done. Just in case, just in case of away. What? And there's so many beautiful notes, like notes that you think that is so valuable. Mm. And all I did is wrote it once.
And you look back on the notes and it means less to you. Like the weight that that sentence carried when you were reading it was such an insight.
But if you can't remember it at all,
it's better.
Is having the note better than nothing?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think as long as it's in your own words.
So you're saying the review process is just as important as the
either. So if it's something process. To be applied, apply it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just something that's important, I think taking a concept and writing it in your own words in a way that, and expecting like at some point
Feynman technique, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't want to sound like a copycat, but for me, journaling this year has also been a huge change. So I got the 6-minute diary at the very beginning of the year. Why are you taking your belt off?
I'm going to have to take off one item of clothing and
you can't take off your trousers.
Sorry, I've got leggings on.
But Yusuf.
I can't be taking off my Christmas jumper.
What's happening?
So... It's gonna happen.
Is this actually? I promise this wasn't planned.
Right, there
what are
we
you doing?
Go.
Oh. You look like a frog. You've got full leggings on. This is gonna. All, the sound of you taking your trousers off is gonna be captured by the.
Why are you
is
wearing
your package? Leggings? Your package is gonna be fully frontal now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've realised that, so I think I'll just do that.
There Why are you wearing leggings?
Why are you wearing leggings?
My boiler broke last night, so I've been wearing all the clothes that I have.
I can't believe that you've just done that.
I think it's okay. There's no package visible.
Jesus Christ.
It's still Christmassy. Red and
I'm going to try and continue as if nothing's occurred.
So of the list of things that I could have expected might have happened, that's not one of them.
What I really like is that anyone who skipped forward through this podcast...
yeah.
When did he take his trousers off?
Yeah.
So yeah, journaling for me has been massive. 6-minute diary is a real game changer. I've instantiated a daily habit for something that I never thought I would do. Shout out to the guys that make it because like I'm not an easy person to change with regards to that. But that's, I guess that's going over old ground. We've spoken about that before. Mm. I think my best development from this year has been learning the sacredness of a morning routine. I've always had one, but I never really treated it very sacred. Mm. And that's the best word that I can come up with as well.
Very dispensable. Sometimes
just
when
yeah, very transitory. Like if it gets done, it's a bonus. If it doesn't get done, it doesn't matter. And now I almost look forward to going to sleep because the start of my day includes a load of shit that I love to do.
That's really nice.
I start my day with a bunch of shit that's awesome. So I'll get up, I will go and stand outside, whether it's raining, whether it's whatever. I'll stand outside for a minute, a couple of minutes, and just take in the air. Coffee, breakfast, sit down, journal, meditate.
What do you have for breakfast?
Always the same. So it is 2 sachets of Quaker's instant oats, golden syrup flavor. Then blueberries, a combination of mixed nuts and yogurt-coated raisins and other stuff. And sometimes a smoothie, innocent smoothie, sometimes like a greens drink, water, coffee, sit down.
No protein.
No protein.
Good lord.
Makes me feel uncomfortable in the morning.
Just too muscular.
That's it. Too turgid.
Yeah.
And then
there's too much synthesis going on here.
There is, man. I mean, never go.
Put it to stop.
Never feel.
Even through the Christmas jumper.
Yeah.
It's just right on the brink, isn't it? Ready to burst.
I was going to say, Robert,
it's like an overfilled paddling pool, isn't it?
Oh man,
dribbling out the top. God.
And then yeah, I do loads of stuff that I like. I journal, I meditate, I read. I've now got a timer where I set away my reading for 20 to 25 minutes and I've very slowly managed to cultivate a reading habit through nice. Doing that. Then I ROMWOD. Now I'm adding on to that as I'm contributing more articles for Muslim fitness, muscle and fitness. The new one will be out in February, so make sure that you check that out, which is about meditation itself. And I'm sitting down and cracking out like 500 words on a morning. Then I get up and I go to the gym. I'm like,
by
the
time, without your phone?
I haven't looked at my phone the whole time. I maybe popped Insight Timer on, but I don't get sucked in. And I'm just like, yeah, by the time that I get out of the gym, the day is about to begin. And yet I've done so much shit already. And I'm just like, it honestly makes waking up every day a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Genuine pleasure. What about you, Johnny? I know that you like to develop habits and read a lot of self-development.
Yeah, so I was on a plane going to a wedding.
Of course you were.
And I read a Derren Brown's book called Happy. And I remember it was like a 5-hour flight to Cyprus. And I remember I got on the plane and I had like, I still kind of do, but like everything was 90-day goals with outcomes. And I really believed, because of a lot of people I follow believe this, that like targets and goals and things to tick off were like the way to manage all areas of your life. And Derren just systematically rubbished that belief for 5 hours on tea time speed. So that's a lot of Derren. And like, I got off the plane, and I was just like,
"You listen to it continuously."
Yeah, it's a long book.
You say that you got on the plane in like as one person and got off with your world destroyed. Literally.
Well, so like, how often do you have 5 hours to sit and just listen to someone and like,
if someone pick apart happiness?
Those of you who think that Derren Brown's just like a magician, like he is an incredibly well-read
and insightful,
very intelligent man. He's also a lawyer. Do you know that?
Is he? What the fuck? What a bastard.
He's a lawyer who, but anyway, so,
of course, he's like, manipulative.
And he's like taking lots of schools of thought, synthesizing it into just this like goal setting in the way that essentially I was doing at the time is completely and utterly pointless. I was like,
great.
Okay. So then that sort of started to shift my beliefs. Recently read James Clear's Atomic Habits, which kind of put a bottle cap on that thought process of that, you know, actually, you know, my version of my reality today and what it'll be like this time next year and in 2 years time, all of that is just like something that I'm experiencing at that point in time. So the process is the most important thing. And so since then I've almost removed the focus on hitting a certain thing, focus more on like just installing something into my life.
I've heard you use the term, it's a process goal, not an outcome goal, a lot more in the last like 6 months or whatever.
I think so that and simplifying stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I think because when you start looking at it as, so like a lot of the literature is 66 days for a habit, like that's thrown around all the time. So you think like, okay, I've got to do something for 66 days. You immediately view it differently to like, I just want to hit this goal. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, I'm making a real commitment here. Like I'm going to be spending the next 2 months more doing this thing. How can I increase the likelihood of that happening? So that then frames how you set the whole process and what you're saying about the morning routine. Like little tiny little changes have a big impact. So I remember you saying about moving your phone over to the other side of the room. Like that's a tiny, tiny thing, but it completely changes how...
Number one difference that it's made.
So just...
I'm going to step that up this year, actually. So I'm going to... this is taken from Joe Rogan.
Yourself to the other side of the room.
No, because that would reverse
with your phone.
My phone stays in bed and I go over the other side of the room.
Right.
Joe Rogan has a no phones rule in his house. I think he has a...
In his house?
Yeah, so you walk through the door and he's got like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old daughter.
Right.
So all of her friends are around and they all want Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and put bunnies on each other and stuff like that. And they all have to have their phones. They leave them at the front of the door. So they're all like... No one wants to go around to like little Rogan's house because it's
a
like,
great money making scheme. You just have a box at the front of the door, tell everyone that once they go in the house, you go out, put them on eBay. You just go.
You can only do that once, can't you?
Yeah. Well, per friend.
You need a constant supply of friends.
Yeah.
And also a way of buying back the lost social equity.
So can you gain friends faster than you can sell phones? That's the question.
Well, if you know the answer, listeners at home, please, please tell us.
So process goal and simplifying my personal development. Just like, so I've been using Habit
Bowl. Why is a process goal better than a outcome goal?
So
in Darren's book, which I'd highly recommend reading, called Happy, he talks about this, the idea of like the experienced self and the remembered self. And that it's something that a lot of people talk about. But this, in other words, you reaching a goal is always ever just a point in time. So if you achieve an outcome goal, like you, that's just going to happen on a day at some point in the future, you'll experience that. And yeah, exactly. So like your reality might have changed, but it probably your reality, like your day to day, Monday to Friday or Monday to Sunday is going to be exactly the same. You've just done something. And so that's not really how we experience happiness and contentment. Like we experience happiness and contentment by, you know, on a daily basis.
The fidelity is much higher.
Yeah. So like having a really lovely morning every morning.
Yeah, man.
That's a big change in your life. Having a really lovely evening is a big change in your life. Doing one thing in 90 days time doesn't have a big change in your life. And obviously the outcome requires a process. But when you look at it as actually in that case, the process is all that matters. The outcome
is a byproduct.
Takes care of itself. Yeah. So
that's awesome, man. Can we have the lights again, please, on your Christmas jumper? I think I'm missing them now.
Lights.
Oh, I tell you what. Did you do it at home?
May or may not be included in the recording, but I honestly convinced Yusuf for a couple of minutes that this was a voice activated jumper.
Fully.
And he.
That's why we had to convince you as well, so that we felt less silly. So we've outsourced our silliness. Another fail from this year, please.
What have you gone doing?
Another fail. Oh, I had a win.
Hits with a win.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't want to win. I want to
fail. Don't hit us with a win.
Don't.
I'm going to have to check.
It's in the shape of a spoon.
It's in the shape of a spoon. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is... Chris really wanted me to tell this story.
Because it's hilarious.
So I've been cold turkey coffee for a long time. God. For years, actually. Because I developed a real... Basically, I can't have a healthy relationship with coffee. I can only have an extreme high or an extreme low one. So I was like, right, I'm just going to ban coffee.
It's more caffeine than coffee though, right?
Yeah,
you're caffeine. You don't like I've never heard you say like, oh, I'd love a coffee. Like I'd love a...
Yeah, like...
Okay.
It's nice.
It's a delivery mechanism for caffeine.
That's true. Which I would I would take IV if I could just get access to a constituted caffeine. So, So yeah, I can't have a healthy relationship with it. That's very much like what an alcoholic says. So I've been cold turkey. I started reintroducing it tentatively this year and found that, yeah, you get absolute, like, when you reintroduce it, because you're so sensitive to it, that a single coffee will send your heart rate up, it will send you, make you so, feeling like you're so productive. Whether you actually are, different story, but what I found was... Actually, you're taking borrowed wakefulness. You're taking wakefulness forward and front loading it, and then later on in the day, you start to feel tired. And I actually never used to fall asleep during the day. As soon as I started drinking coffee, within a few days, I was falling asleep during the day quite consistently in the afternoon. And I think it's because I was so sensitive to it that the effect was lasting over into the evening, reducing my sleep quality, causing that tiredness to roll on forward and to be tired during the day. One day, this sounds so stupid, but I had slightly too heaped a spoon of coffee than I'd expected.
Can we just, let's just repeat that.
I had a heaped spoon of coffee that
was... As opposed to
a little flat one. It must have been a tablespoon. I don't know how to dose, like,
even then, filter coffee anymore. Even then, it's like instant coffee.
No, filter coffee.
Okay, in a cafetiere.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess it depends how hot it is and how long
you brew it for. We're still talking, like... 150 milligrams of coffee, maybe. And that would be a punchy,
maybe, yeah.
Like an espresso is 70 milligrams. Yeah.
You had a slightly heaped spoon.
Yeah. And you know, within half an hour, you're like, oh, God, I've really done it now. And you're like, there's nothing I can do. Like, there's no...
I'm along for the ride. It's like you with your anaphylaxis.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Very similar, yeah. Not quite the same.
So you're just like, well, like, you try your best to be productive, but you're just sat there.
And
just,
you sent us a message.
What did I say?
You texted us both saying, guys, I've had a slightly too heaped spoon of coffee this morning. Can't it's stop shaking. Or it wrecked me.
I think I was measuring my heart rate that day and with the lovely Withings watch.
Yeah.
And so basically I'm off the coffee again, not doing that again. I think it's, for me, doesn't provide any utility. There's too much of a And Johnny was like, bollocks. Like, coffee is great. I don't feel any of the downsides of it.
And then you you did a 30-day challenge and then you got humbled, didn't you, man?
Yeah, it got so hard. So I did 30 days of like just tea.
Which I found really funny, but I don't know why.
You just wanted a hot drink, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, so the deal with my girlfriend was no coffee. So that included no. She was saying.
I think it's because you were like, I'm going to get some pu'er tea.
Yeah, I went all in. Oolong. To be honest, like I did enjoy the morning coffee.
The ritual.
Yeah. The morning tea. Like, yeah, no. I did enjoy the morning tea. And like I bought like a Bodum tea press. And,
Jesus Christ.
Because I
this is why.
Literally, like as soon as I agreed to the 30-day challenge, I was straight on Amazon. I was like,
the jumper's come off.
Youssef has such a low tolerance to heat.
But you're good in a sauna. You wipe the floor with me when we go to the sauna.
Fine in the sauna, yeah.
It's weird.
I guess because it's short and intense.
Why won't you come to the sauna?
So there's a story behind that.
Okay. So for the listeners,
I'll finish my tea story.
Yep, I'll do the intro.
I bought yerba mate, pu'er, and Japanese sencha.
All of these things sound so it's like...
So I thought, who do I know who likes tea? Tim Ferriss likes tea. I look up Tim Ferriss, and Jordan did exactly the same thing. So just bought the stuff, just verbatim, exactly what he was doing, and just did that. And it's quite nice. It's like smoky, because yerba mate is like a very smoky flavour.
Yerba mate is very caffeinated, though, isn't it?
I remember you saying this to me.
I think I overdosed it as well. I just take the Mick with doses. And
if you like dose it as it's recommended on the back of the packet, it's like 30 milligrams.
If you're going to sell it at £7 in an hour.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that.
Sell it at £7.20 now. So me and Yusuf have begun going semi-regularly to sauna, and we're going to begin a little swimming routine as well soon, aren't we? Yeah, we've got...
Thanks, Sabina.
Yeah, we've got some cool swim wads from Sabina, who is now like... unreal at swimming and has asthma, so was a bad person to be a swimmer and is now proper good. So we're following in her aqua...
Immersion, total immersion.
Swimming. You go to Jasmine Pool and you hold your breath.
Yeah, and then you get banned, then you got to come back with a different ID. So we've been going sauna, video, Gardine and myself have also gone for a little sauna trip. Sauna. Why are you not coming to the sauna with us?
So I used to... have a membership at David Lloyd.
Of course you do.
Leisure. And while I was doing... while I was revising for my ACA exams, I used to use the cafe as a place to revise. And what I used to do was when exams were approaching, I would also like... so like my routine, my schedule became like very regimented and like the rest of my life also dialed in. So like... I was like going in the gym in the morning. I look back, I've got no fucking clue why. I was going to the gym in the morning and doing like 20 minutes of incline walking, listening to an audiobook, and then I'd go down and do some stretching. Then I'd do like revision block one. And I was doing like a training session, revision block two. And I read at the time that sauna, as you've probably read the same stuff, like the fair whack of time in a sauna can have like real effects on your recovery.
Rhonda Patrick.
Yeah. Tim Ferriss podcast.
Sauna report.
Yeah.
Whole host of multi-system benefits from sauna.
Lots and lots. So I was like, okay.
But it's big dose. It's 3 times a week for 30 minutes.
Yep. So I thought 3 times a week for 30 minutes. I
think so.
It's good.
For the minimum.
I'll do more than that. So I was doing...
heap teaspoon.
I was basically doing two 20-minute sessions a day. And not every day, but like every day that my schedule allowed, but it was a lot. And it got to the point where, I don't know why, I 10 minutes is fine. 10 to 20 minutes is absolute, for me, absolute hell.
Yeah, there's a curve with your tolerance, isn't there? Where like you're like, oh, this is
I can hold. It's warm, it's nice. And it's then like, you're like, whoa, oh, like, this is fucking like
mine's that. Mine is first and second of 15 is fine. Third one at 10, I'm out.
Right.
That's it. So.
So I've just stopped.
Overexposure.
I'm the same. Like, you go on holiday or, like, go somewhere where there's a sauna and you're like, this should be a nice experience.
Mm. And you've ruined it for yourself. It's like having too much Malibu. And then...
So I've done that too.
Oh, really?
Malibu.
Yeah. I had too much Malibu.
And then you're like, you can't have anything
that... Is there anything else that you guys have done that...
to excess?
Where you know... You know that everyone's got a story about, like, that one time you were 16 and broke into your parents' like pantry and had a load of tequila and now you can't drink tequila. Like, have you got any of those?
I once made my own rosé wine from mixing white wine and red wine. And I like then walked into my parents' kitchen and got a stack of like, you know, like water crackers, like Jacob's crackers. Story before. Sat next to my dad and thought like, I'm going to eat these crackers and just decided to go like, like went all down me. And my dad just looked at me and went, son, look at this stable. I then went upstairs, went to bed, woke up while being sick, was sick on myself, sick on the floor. Then thought, I'm being sick, stood up, stood in the sick, slipped in the sick, sick again.
Oh.
Stood up. So I've got sick. So I've got sick all down me, sick all over the floor, all over my bed. And I, so I can't fully remember this part, but apparently I went downstairs. This is at like 10:45 at
slept
night.
On the sick.
And just standing in the living room. But my mum sat watching TV. I walk in and go, oh, mum, I've been sick upstairs. And she was just like, you know, like, what? Where do you even begin with the questions? Because neither of them had any idea. So this was like, some friends had come around with bottles of wine.
Yeah.
And I was like, rosé wine's just red wine and white wine mixed together, surely. So I had a lot of rosé wine. And yeah, to that.
Oh, no.
Jesus. So when I was 15, I once had one bottle of white and one bottle of red wine.
So you made rosé internally?
Yeah, yeah. I did it separately and then mixed it inside of me. Rosé. And this was at, I was staying at a friend's house and I did the exact same thing. I had projectile vomiting of, apparently it looked like someone had been stood at the bottom of the stairs with a shotgun and hit someone in the stomach and it had just gone, it was all over the walls. They had cream carpet, cream walls. Oh. I had to pay like £400 to get everything cleaned and write them a letter. My mum made me handwrite them a letter. My handwriting's always been terrible. So like it took me, this letter took me so laborious. Each word was taking like 3 minutes for me to write.
Especially with the alcohol shakes and stuff as well.
And then horrible. Apparently she'd given me a bunch of towels to go upstairs and like clean myself off. And I'd gone upstairs, left the towels outside, picked up one of the hand towels. So I was holding it like behind me like this, but there was a slit down the back where my arse was hanging out, obviously, because I was just holding this like pinny thing behind me. If you can imagine, it didn't reach all the way around my waist. And then I woke up in their conservatory on an airbed the next day with no recollection of it happening. Oh, I was like,
sounds horrid.
What the fuck? I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. Mine doesn't involve alcohol, but I might have gone over this in another podcast, but if you are a veteran of MyProtein, when they first started, you'll know, you know, when it was actually MyProtein, you could make your own, like, oh, I want 3%.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. 2%. Yeah, the whole point was that you could make your own custom.
We're all part of the old blend guard, aren't we?
Yeah. So there, the cheapest protein that they had was casein caseinate. This is different from micellar casein. So this is like one of the first like commercially available protein powders. And it would be a scoop of really thick set powder. You put it in the water or the milk and you'd shake it. And it would, as you shake it, it would become more and more solid until eventually it would be like boop, 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 boop in your shaker. It would just become this lump of sand. A bit like that Newtonian fluid, you know, where you mix corn flour and water and you can punch it and it's solid.
Oh, yeah.
And then you pour it and it makes a slow movement.
It's called Thixtropic.
Thixtropic.
Thixtropic with an X. It's substances which get more viscous as you
with more energy
as you stir.
Yeah. So it was like that. And as you shake it, it would be drinking that. And I was just having that all the time, trying to get the calories in during Ramadan. It's flavorless. It tastes absolutely awful. So it's not just the consistency, it's warm as well.
I'm gonna guess it feels like being punched in the throat. It's gonna feel like you making yourself sick, or like being on Geordie Shore.
Oh, it does, yeah. It feels like a finger just slowly putting itself down the back of your throat.
God.
And it sits in your stomach heavy. Everything about it from top to toe is awful. And I remember like getting down my final liter of it for the day and just being like, I'm so glad I've done that. And I was like, no, I can't handle it. Threw up, but running to the bathroom. Got it all over my maths notes. It was the start of the academic year, and so I ended up just having these like casein caseinated, dried in a kind of wavy,
all the wobbly paper,
stinking of vom for the rest of the year.
As a constant reminder.
Oh, yeah, man. There it is. So moving forward into
so, So oh. my win.
Yes, your well. Win. Your win.
Johnny had been getting me to get a whiteboard in my room. He was like, telling you, man, get a whiteboard.
He's
like,
listen, yeah.
It's the best thing that you can
honestly,
do.
Honestly, yeah. man, get some glittery pens.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Can, like, write things on it and like.
You can do pictures.
Do pictures and stuff.
Oh, why is only one light on? You've broken it.
Light.
Broken your Christmas jumper and only one light.
Is that happening the whole time?
Look, look at it. It's on the left. It's on the left. It's just one. It's
so I was trying to do a big cinematic thing while you two were having your own
discussion.
I was like making eye contact with the camera.
Yeah.
I thought I'd set my lights off.
Yeah.
Thinking big dramatic display.
I've broken the circuit.
You've ruined it, man. I'm telling you.
What are you doing
yeah.
by pressing it?
I'm trying to see if there's a connection between them.
Man. They're, well, they're obviously in series. Off. They're not in parallel, are they? That was that's
GCSE physics.
Yes. Right. So
with the lines and the circle with the crossing.
Yeah. So what I've been using it for, it's probably not for the intended purpose, but is using it as like a way to have serial reminders from some of the, so like
Frosties, Cocoa Pops, cornflakes.
Yeah, Honey Nut cornflakes. But so I drew a big picture of a tomato.
Tomato.
And that's my reminder to do Pomodoros.
Tomato.
Tomato.
The first quote that I wrote on.
Was it abnormal?
That will have to be a story one day.
We can't. One day you'll be prepared.
We'll build up to it.
Yeah,
it'll
be amazing. We have, for the listeners at home, Johnny has like the pinnacle of all stories.
It is probably the funniest story that you've ever heard.
But the other problem is the fact that it's as personally exposing as anything can be.
Yeah.
So, but...
It, but that, I mean, that's a reason to keep listening to the
episode. Episode 100...
Could be for a
could
draw.
Very well, and that'll be around about a year from now.
That'd be lovely.
Fine, I'll wow. start psyching myself up.
I honestly think it would take you a full year.
Messages,
get ready.
So
yeah.
excited.
We want to know.
Exactly what the story is.
52 weeks ago to the day, you said that we would find out what the embarrassing thing was that happened to Jonathan.
If they remember, I'll record it for them in a private
in
audio.
There was a few requests for a story that I mentioned. They were like, "Oh, I want to hear about." How Yusuf did the...
Can't remember.
Might have been cultural.
There's so many requests for stories from you.
Well,
I'm inundated.
It's bad.
Continue.
Well, so the quote that I've been following for a few months, I've rotated it now, but was, do not concern yourself with the opinions of the C players. And this was from Josh Waitskin.
Chess prodigy,
chess.
Black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, peak performance coach. Like
it's searching for thingy, Bobby Fischer, isn't it?
Yeah. So this was an interview with him and Tim Ferriss, and he was saying that this quote is essentially in relation to people who produce things. So the athlete and relative to the C players, who are the sports critics or the author and the literary critics or. The artist and the, you know...
Should have bought and passed the ball to him.
Yeah, exactly. The armchair expert. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, these people are not in your position for a reason. And so if you continually pander to those low-level opinions...
Pander.
Then you'll end up diluting your own art form. And so whatever it is that you're creating, be very careful with who you listen to. Only take on the either expert opinions or... If it's something that's really overwhelmingly in favor of one thing or another, or your coach. So anyone that has your best interests at heart and to tune out some of the armchair experts. And I think for me, that was something that I needed to hear.
It's
so
cool. It's a very, very cool idea. And like, you know, I think with a lot of any people at home who do a job, everything's high profile. And I was about to say anyone who does anything that's high profile, that's in the public eye, but with social media, everyone with a fucking Facebook account's got an opinion.
Yeah.
And like,
especially on politics and economics.
The things that require expertise.
Yeah. Yeah. The things that are the most nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the very, very rare that I ever get messages about that are negative about the podcast, but the couple of people that do, I'm like, why don't you mention it on your podcast? Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. You don't fucking have one because you can't speak sentences.
That's a hell of a reason. That's very
how about
pervasive, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like,
In some of the stuff we do with helping PTs, like one of the big barriers to being online is doing videos,
mm-hmm.
speaking to camera, and especially a video that's live.
Think of something that you're grateful
exactly.
for.
And that's what we teach them to
Should
do.
Should we do it?
Hold on.
3, 2, 1.
Chris, what was that noise?
Think of something. You know what you're going to be absolutely aroused by?
You do feel mint after that, don't you?
Oh, wow.
Look at the waveform on GarageBand after that. There is no way I'm going to be able to leave that in the audio version, is there? It's just going to sound like us humping each other for like 2 minutes.
Maybe that's what we were doing, if you're on the audio version.
Maybe that
It'll make this create a sense of intrigue to go over to YouTube.
You need to go over to YouTube and press the subscribe
button. Watch the fuffing.
Mm. You do. So,
one of the fears is being on video. And the thing that I would say to them is, anyone who's criticising you, I guarantee, is not doing videos themselves.
Yeah. People are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death.
What?
So the top three fears are public speaking, spiders, and death, I think.
In that order?
In that order, right. Yeah.
And hang on, so let me get this straight. I told you earlier on this evening that I'm nervous about an event that we're doing next week.
Mm-hmm.
And you've reaffirmed the fact that I should be more terrified than both spiders and death, both of which I'm pretty scared of.
Yeah, it's so weird
how justifying my fears, mate.
Human mind works. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your another fail, another win from this year?
Oh, God. Wins from this year, man. Like, number... The business, the Voodoo has continued to be successful for me. That feels like bread and butter. Like, it's more that the status quo of that is that it continues to grow and continues to do well. Doing the podcast this year was new ground. I feel...
That was huge.
Yeah, you've launched a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I feel very, very thankful and grateful to yourselves and the silent video guy, Dean, and you know, all the guests that I've had on and stuff this year. So, you know, and the listeners at home, I really do. Like, we've topped nearly 3.5 million listen minutes since launching in February. And, it's super meaningful. I get to sit down with amazing, interesting people. Like, the guests that I've got for 2019... ridiculous. Like, the vice chairman of Ogilvy Advertising, I've got Rory Sutherland, who's an absolute monster in his own right. Like, I've got Tiago Forte from Praxis.
Looking forward to both of them.
Man, yeah. He's building a second brain. The book is being made off the back of the course. So I know I get a lot of requests for us to do a podcast episode about the use of Evernote. So what we might do... What might be cool would be to do a couple, like a little series, so we could get us to do one on Evernote, and then I know you cover the hard on. And then within a couple of weeks, I'll get the Forte episode, and I'll get that on, and then he'll just take it to the extreme.
Nice.
Okay. But yeah, man, like the podcast's been a big win. I said at the start of the year that I wanted to do it. I said at the start of the year as well, oddly, this will go against some of your process goal approaches.
Mm.
But I don't like to write. I'm big on New Year's resolutions, right? I know you guys, we'll have a discussion about this actually in a second, which will be interesting, but I'm big on New Year's resolutions and I like the opportunity to reset and reflect. And I think it's important to periodize your life in that way. And I like the fact that there is an end, because we could essentially not have an end of the year. It could just be like phlegm fluary and then keep on going. Do you know what I mean? Like
phlegm fluary.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
The time just drags on in our slow march towards death. And
yeah, exactly. But you get this periodized kind of reflection period.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really funny was at the start of last year, I knew I was going to have a hard cut physique wise. And one of my goals was to get a fitness cover. So I wanted to get, wrote it down. Don't tend to do this thing much, but I was like, right, I want a million podcast listens. We've had 3.5 million listen minutes. I'm going to class that. A couple of other things that I wanted to do, and one of them was get a magazine cover. Now, what I had in my mind was the fact that I was going to be the photo on the front of the magazine. But as some of the listeners may remember, in April, I wrote an article that got featured in Muscle and Fitness. And it was on the cover of the magazine.
The biggest Islamic fitness magazine in the world.
Islam and fitness.
It's amazing.
It was great.
Muslim fitness.
Muslimic and fitness, yeah. So that was kind of funny that there's like certain things that have come around like that. But yeah, man, like podcasts are awesome. Man. It's a fantastic outlet. And, you know, you guys as well in your own right with the Propane One have continued to grow on every year. And I think it's cool that people have access to this sort of stuff for free. Like it blows my mind on a consistent basis. And, you know, I mean, probably not by the time that this goes out, I suppose, for Christmas Eve. But pretty soon after, we'll start announcing some of the things that we've got planned for next year. And, like, we're going to be doing some live podcasts. And the, like, locations and the shows that we're doing them at are...
I'm more scared of that than I am of spiders. And I'm terrified of spiders. Huge.
My sphincter is tensioning already at the thought of it.
Wrapped up nice and tight.
So moving forward into next year, first off, are you going to do New Year's resolutions? Have you got an approach to them? Do you tend to reflect at the end of the year? How do you play it, Johnny?
So I probably won't set New Year's resolutions. I think I try as much as possible to just not see it. I think even when I was more goal-centric, I tried to not see it as January the 1st, new me. Just because, like, January the 12th is going to be no different to today, from a practical sense. So I think waiting to start stuff gives a lot of people a reason to write off between now and then. which, like, it's not a criticism. Like, I've done that myself.
I mean, we see it with our clients every single year. Yeah. It's such an easily done thing.
And I've had the thought pattern of, like, yeah, but that would be good to start on a Monday, or like the big one, which is, yeah, that would be good to start on the 1st of January. But you're still going to have the same fears and concerns and doubts about it now as you will on the 1st of January and as you will on the 1st of February. Like, so
you are right. It's an arbitrary date.
It is, but it is a nice, it's a mark and like stake in the ground to say, you know, that's a year gone by. Am I heading in the right direction? Something, this is a very morbid way to take things, but something else that
is that a surprise to anyone that's listening that we're potentially going to just say something
to talk about some so something else from the Derren Brown book is he talks about death, and something that I don't really know why, but over the past year and a bit, I think just as you get into your late 20s, you're like, you become aware of, like, you don't feel this like I'm 21 and bulletproof anymore.
Oh man, you're chronically aware of your own mortality as you approach 30.
So that, for me, has been quite a theme this year, I suppose, of like, wow, you know, you're heading into your 30s, you're heading into later life, and actually, you know, you could easily, you know, be diagnosed with something, or like your life's, and even if your life's being lived to its fullest extent, you've had 30 of the years so far. And so, Derren has a lot of thoughts about death in the book, but I think one of them is just being constantly, you know, the momentum or I be mindful of death. And I think having a yearly review, or even having a monthly review or a weekly review, prevents this like, oh shit, I'm 50.
Just drudging through life without...
And having a point at which, like, am I going in the right direction or not? And if I'm not, then what am I going to do about it? Is very important. And so I think having a retrospective view and what am I going to change? Great. But personally, in terms of setting New Year's resolutions, probably not.
I've read the most harrowing experience of a guy who was 45, I think, or his late 40s. And he just recognized that he'd pissed away his life. And he was like, I know that I had the capacity, I was intelligent, but I just kind of like procrastinated and just didn't really do anything for that time. And he's like, I'm looking back and I'm so heartbroken. This is totally irreversible. There's nothing I can do about it. And reading that, it was like, wow, that was really...
Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, for New Year's resolution, I'm too impatient. I'm too eager to get stuck into new projects, to get started with things. I feel a lot of the time when looking back over the mistakes I've made over the year or anything, it's like a greyhound pulling at the stocks. Like, there's too much of urgency.
You want to fix that now.
Yeah, than waiting for a new start. So the 90-day goal process keeps me interested enough to at least be close together, and then at least you can still change process goals, and there's at least there's kind of four quadrants where which we work in, which is what we've done recently, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the idea of doing a New Year resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably the thing that I would do if I were to start this year is fewer things. And mm-hmm. we changed the slogan of our business from simple rules, dramatic results to do fewer things better for that reason, because it's so easy to try and start 24 habits in one go. James Clear talks about this. He said if you try and start 12 habits in one go, you end up doing none of them at the end of the year. Whereas if you just say, I'm going to do one habit, nail it for each month, and then move on to the next one, then you'll get 12 habits fully installed.
I think that's a very successful way to go about it. A couple of things to touch on there. The thing that you said about the guy that realized he'd wasted his life, anyone who wants to go down a YouTube binge, if you search for I Am The Man Jordan Peterson Warned You About, and it's this guy who looks like a psychopath in the thumbnail, very, very cleverly designed thumbnail, and it's a guy, British guy, and basically what he says is the story that you've just said there. He's got a wife and a couple of kids, and he's 45, 50 years old, and he says, but I realise that I've wasted my life, and he's talking very deadpan, direct into the camera. And it's harrowing.
Mm.
It's so harrowing to watch.
He's got a successful YouTube channel now, though, presumably.
Very successful. I mean, that one nearly went 500,000 views, I think.
Have you seen American Beauty?
No.
Watch American Beauty.
That's a good film.
Cool.
Because it's basically a guy who, like, has that and then ends up finding, like, there's scenes in the film where, like, they're talking about the beauty of, like, a plastic bag floating in the wind.
Mm.
But this guy's just, like, lived this, like, dreary existence and then quit his job, buys a car. It's a fantastic film.
Cool, man. Fantastic. Okay, I have to watch that. So yeah. I think you both are maybe a slightly unrepresentative sample for people who do habits.
Yeah.
Because
both of us are saying, like, for God's sake, stop doing so many
it's things. An arbitrary, it's an arbitrary
don't
day.
Don't set goals,
blah, blah, blah.
They're weird.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I think that for me as someone who does, one of the reasons that I like January 1st is, again, as you say, it is an arbitrary date, but there's something about the forced reflection and begin period. It feels mm-hmm. like starting anew. If I was to give some advice to people who are considering, you know, you will be watching this hopefully before January the 1st, but even if you're not, it doesn't matter. But I would spend the time that you have up until January 1st thinking about what you want to achieve when you get there and beginning to get the things prepared, because a lot of the time people will get to January 1st and be like, right, I'm going to start the gym. Mm. Shit, I've got no shoes.
Oh, I'm hungover. Oh,
yeah, and you're like, no, hang on, mate. Like, what is it that you want to do? You want to hit the ground running? You've got no fucking gym shoes.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
it's true.
Okay, right, next Monday.
Yeah, prep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then you start your New Year's resolution on January 7th or something. Yeah. You're like,
and then you might as well start on December 7th.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, for me,
waiting for this big, like, iconic day.
You haven't got fucking gym shoes.
The brass band to come, like, marching down the road.
Oh, no. It's like... yeah. It's like someone... We had a big brass band come to... For, like, our school graduation thing. And they played Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you remember this.
Epic, yeah.
And you know that, like, it was this massive build-up, like, and they had the guy with a big drum and all the, like, you know, the slow kind of... the sea of... Of wind instruments, like,
yep.
And then builds up to that one guy doing the solo. And he got it wrong, and everyone just cracked up, and it was
so
like,
I was in that band. I wasn't doing the solo.
Thank God.
You were in that band?
I was playing the saxophone.
So, did you watch this occur?
Yeah, I was in it, yeah. I know who
you play the saxophone?
Grade 5.
Stop the fucking press. What just happened?
I thought you knew that.
You've taken your pants off and you play the saxophone?
I have grade 5 saxophone.
Johan Agnes Blobnesen
yeah.
plays the saxophone.
Yep.
In that band, where he was in the crowd?
Yeah.
Mate, my mind is... I'm absolutely...
There's also
speechless.
I was in a singing group for... when I was in...
Have we been transported into some alternate Christmas universe?
You know, when we were put into the YouTube holding bay, we've been sent out into the wrong dimension.
This is the wrong Johnny, isn't it?
That's why the light didn't work. And
yeah, my jumper failed.
I thought we were here to do a Christmas podcast, and it turns out we're in some fucking alternate universe. I
can't believe it.
Where only one light on your Christmas jumper works.
So I was in one of my teachers had a singing career. He was a guitarist, and he used a portion of the choir that I was also in to be his backing singing group. So I'm on a CD singing.
That's great. Somewhere.
Shit, the fucking bed.
No.
Fuck.
Wow.
So we're talking about goals.
New Year's.
Stumbling at the first hurdle.
Brass band. That was it.
Make sure you have running shoes, basically.
Yeah, just prepare before you're going to start.
Oh, Christ. Keep going.
It doesn't matter.
January 7th, you might as well have started on December the 7th.
We've literally gone through all the points. We're just going back through them again now.
Just in reverse order. So, but yeah, you're right. Like, I think if you're going to do a New Year's resolution and you're going to treat this January 1st as this holy day as an arbitrary thing...
For heaven's sake,
do it properly.
Be prepared.
Yeah, because if you're not, then all you've done is...
Delay failure.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And we always think we're going to feel different waking up on January 1st. And most likely, you're going to feel terrible waking up on January 1st. Because
I feel... I'm going to... Have you remembered?
Yes.
What is it? Oh, my God. He's killed me.
Fucking yes.
Right, what is it?
It's all right, I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, fuck off. Come on.
Because otherwise you forget and just...
What is it?
You know, it's like, you know when you've been wanting to sneeze for ages
and you get it.
It's like, it's the best thing. Something coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So it was to... Oh, I've forgotten again. No, I'm joking. For setting a goal, a different way of setting a goal on the 1st of January is to set a... What prompted this was you said use between now and January to have a think. And one of the problems that I think people have with that is like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. Where do I begin with goal setting? Blah, 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 blah. And everyone's like, well, yeah, but think about what you really want. And they're like, fuck off.
Think about something that you'll get to.
Exactly. So like sit down and write as ambitiously as you'd like a perfect day from start to finish. And then that becomes the skeleton for all of the goals. So this was something that I did when I was in my second year of uni and pretty much got it.
I mean, that's what I've managed to get to close towards on a morning now. Everything I do before midday, if you gave me the option, like if I had unlimited money, I'd maybe fly somewhere or something.
Mm-hmm.
But within the realms of reality,
mm-hmm.
if you ask me what would you like to do on a morning up until from 6 a.m. until midday,
mm-hmm.
it would be exactly what I do.
That is more important than anything else, because that's literally how you spend your life, which is all that there is anyway.
What might be quite nice, you touched upon a quote that you'd liked. Is there any quotes from this year that come to mind, Johnny? I know I put you on the spot there. There's any of the things. I love that one about the C players. I think it's just, it's a much cooler really way of saying, like, lions don't concern themselves with opinions of the sheep.
Mm.
That's just so wanky, isn't it? It just immediately makes me think Fiat 500, jelly bean, air freshener.
Fiat 500. Well,
Chris is
like,
so good at, like,
just
picking out sort of, like, society's, like, the specific things that, like, big
groups of people. Do you know what else this particular person's got? Catch flights, not feelings in their bio on Insta.
Yep.
Catch flights, not feelings.
Yeah. That's what else they've got.
Interesting.
They wear Jimmy Choo's.
Oh, man.
Just assassinated a whole race of people.
Sorry, a generation of girls.
Have you got a quote? If not, I can fill in while you...
Probably not, and I'm not sure I will.
You don't put individual things on a pedestal. You would have had a concept from a book that you've enjoyed the most.
I put people on a pedestal.
Okay. So Darren Brown was already a big win for you.
So I loved magic as a kid.
Yeah.
And like reading more about him and magic has made me realize why I like magic. Because it's a way of trying to impress people when you feel like you aren't impressive.
Mm.
And then that's what leads into...
I think you're impressive.
Thanks, man. But that's what leads into searching to like physically improve yourself and a whole host of other things. But yeah, so him, Tim Ferriss is someone that I've followed for ages.
Anton.
Anton Creel at Anton K-R.
He's a hero.
E?
Watch his YouTube videos.
I-L?
Think so.
The real Creel. Time to get Creel. In the 6 Minute Diary today, I read a quote that like, so every day there's a quote in there. And there's a quote from David Allen, which like I read it and I was like, it's so...
Bastard.
To be honest, like most of the quotes are like that, which is more around the stuff that Yusuf and I are spending more time discussing at the moment, which is like your ability to sit and deeply, aggressively focus on one thing until it's completed.
And what's the one thing that's helped you to do that, that we've both...
Well, I'll get to that in a second. Okay. So David's quote was, your ability to produce output or something like that is directly... Or your power to produce output is directly associated with your ability to like relax or something like that. In other words, you should be putting as much effort and intensity into your relaxation and rest as you are with your work. And I'm very guilty of just like
go work that just kind of fills the day.
So then the challenge in the 6 week diary this week is to schedule and plan, protect free time and do things in it that aren't work related.
So the app
Cold Turkey for Mac is a nuclear warhead.
Just be careful before you download it. Just be brief.
Just respect it. Like it does exactly what it says.
You
briefly explain what Cold Turkey does for Mac.
So it will block access to apps or websites on either for a period of time or on a schedule.
There's an upgrade, isn't there? So that's like that's the plutonium version, but there's a depleted uranium version.
So when I first got it
unstable.
Over a year ago, I noticed in one of the settings in advanced, there's a little toggle switch that says frozen turkey on or off. I was like, ooh, what's that?
That looks nice.
Hovered over the explanation. It was like, frozen turkey will lock you out of your laptop at times you. And I remember like, oh God, get off that. Like go on another menu. Recently read Deep Work on Yusuf's recommendation. And thought, like, so in that book, they talk about this idea of fixed schedule productivity. So having a deadline at the end of every day or at the end of any task you're trying to do. So the end of your gym session or whatever that you cannot and do not shoot over. So I was like, well, I'm shit at that because I'm like, I'll finish work at 5 o'clock and I never do. So I was like, right, well, I'm just going to lock myself out my laptop at a fixed time every day. Put Frozen Turkey on. And I remember thinking like, this is just like the standard bit of software. It won't do anything. 5:30, your screen just goes grey, and in replace, in where was your apps and everything, is just a quote that says like, "You run your day runs you," or some shit like that. And you're like, "Oh my god!" And you're like, "Okay, laptop off, back on again. Can't get on my laptop." You're like, "Right, I locked myself out of my laptop," but it's fantastic. You've got it as well.
Yeah, so I've used it for. I realized
still just sat here in his leggings, in his long socks.
I'm still hot. Such a terrible hot. Egyptian. So realized that a lot of the time sync that I was doing was from switching time, from having a distraction come up or checking messages or whatever, and thinking, oh, it's only a 2 second job to reply to this or whatever, and it ends up completely derailing your train of thought and everything else. And responding to messages causes more to come back up. So I've set iMessage and a lot of communications apps into Cold Turkey and set it so that every 30 minutes I get a 5 minute window to blast response people, which Johnny certainly felt. you just get like, oh, and it's excellent because it's the good hybrid. Ideally, I'd like to go back to having a total offline period until midday. Unfortunately,
hard to do.
Yeah, there's certain, and I know everyone's got an excuse. Oh, I can't do it because, but I'm trying to do a medical degree and run a business here. So there's a couple of things.
Yeah, give me a fucking break, mate.
Yeah. So read Deep Work would be
Deep another. Work Deep Work excellent. By Cal Newport.
Quote:
read Deep Work and Atomic Habits, and those are the if you master those two things.
I still need to.
So read if someone Atomic needs Habits, if someone needs to life. Get a late Christmas present or wants to start reading some stuff for the new year.
Get those two books for people.
Like Atomic Habits by James Clear. And
Deep Work by Cal Newport.
And Happiness or Happy
by Darren Brown. Put those three books into your life. You will honestly, you people won't recognise you.
I've got Happy in my library ready to start.
It's on my wish list on Amazon.
It's a big one. Nice. Big old book, that.
Oh, how long is it? 10 hours, isn't it?
It's, so, yeah.
Fuck.
I can't remember, doesn't it? It's around.
Is from a guy called Daniel Ingram, who we interviewed this year. A&E physician, did 14 years of meditation, 7 of which were intensive, and he completed meditation. So he fully decentralized his awareness from here to everywhere. And he talks about his subjective experience in a very grounded and very kind of physiological, neurophysiological way, which really resonates with me, because it's like he's not just a quack that's gone off the deep end. Like he's very systematic. And basically one of his quotes was, "Wishy-washy practice leads to wishy-washy results." That's my current quote on my board, because he says, obviously, if you sit down and you just kind of half meditating, or you're not really doing a specific method or anything, you're not going to get anywhere. And he says Vipassana meditation, which is the I guess like what mindfulness has been distilled into, is almost treated like a competitive sport if you're practicing seriously, where you look at how many internal sensations can you recognize and spot per second. And he says when you build up to 10 consistently, so 10 per second, then you know that you're on the right track, which to me is still a way off, I think, to consistently for 30 minutes spot 10 sensations a second. But he says if you treat something with that level of precision and that level of focus, then you're guaranteed to make results.
It's a lovely way to look at it, man.
Mm. Pretty good.
That's great.
So you read Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield?
No.
It has a similar kind of message.
Like, do things properly.
Yeah.
It's so stupid because
that's a really good way to look at things for everything, right? Like, you're only going to get, no matter how many times you go through an experience, the number time of that experience is still the first time you've done it. Even if you've been to the gym 200 times, that's still the first 201st time that you've gone.
Yeah.
And it means that, like, you're never going to get that chance again. So, for heaven's sake,
actually, with gym, it's the biggest that we see so many people that are on the inflection point of increasing marginal returns. So, translation, like they're at the point where they're going to the gym, they're having a protein shake, that they're doing 90% of the effort with 90% of the pain and the bollocks that is involved with that, and time and everything else. But because they're just like not really doing compound movements, or they're only sticking to machines, or that they're not tracking their calories, or they're not pushing the volume.
It's hammering a nail in with a foam hammer.
Yeah, like, it's like
it's the same effort.
You're doing all the effort
longer.
That's an amazing analogy. Absolutely. That's such an amazing analogy.
It is
definitely one of the learnings for me from this year has been that your mind is going to give up an awfully long, awfully sooner than your body when it comes to training. And that people are very concerned about overtraining and overwhelm.
But that's been a very raw lesson for you this year.
Yeah, man. But I'm very surprised at my body's capacity. I'm by no means even moderately capable at endurance work or training regularly. Like two a days, 5 days a week for me destroys me, but I'm still able to function. But I get double the progress that I would have done. It is a factor of two.
Mm.
And if you're concerned about the progress that you're making with a work project or in the gym or with your relationship or whatever it is, work done equals time times intensity. That's like, it's like the fucking conservation of energy, like thermodynamics equation. Work done equals time times intensity. So if you can up both of those, you're laughing. Like if you can train twice a day, and if you can train twice as hard, that's 4 sessions that you were getting.
Yeah, I mean the number of people who are anywhere near overtraining.
Like, people are so worried about overtraining, aren't they?
It's a Thursday. Yeah, I trained legs on Sunday.
I play football on Tuesdays, so like I don't need to train legs because otherwise, listen, like, I might overtrain.
Honestly, yeah, my Achilles. It's like the tendon is defibrillated. Yeah.
I had. So do you remember the guy who coached me? He was giving me lots of volume.
Yes.
So the first week from that, I remember coming home from a training session and just being immediately
overwhelmed,
bedbound, like flu type symptoms. And I was like,
CNS stuff.
And honestly, so that I had done more volume in that week than I had previously in a month
and from my previous program. The volume, like, yeah.
Volume and intensity, all like, very high.
But it was at percentages that were designed to bring you to the brink of disruption.
Yeah.
It's not only the percentages are horrendous, but also, like, that level of volume through any human body, regardless of what your maxes are. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, your deadlift max is 320, 315.
12.
312. 0.5. Okay. So, like, the even 70, 80% of that, like...
It's a heavy weight, yeah.
To put, yeah.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah, it's hard to pick up.
I'm just loading the bars
and arduing up over and over again.
So, you put it down in the same place.
That's the closest. But
that's the point.
Weirdly, I remember the next day waking up and feeling, okay, I was following a program. Like, when you're given a program, you follow it. Kept going, and lo and behold, you adapted. So, like, and I remember thinking at the time, I have quadrupled my volume here. And here I am adapting to it. Mm. So
there we go, man.
And you can apply that to anything, can't you?
Your mind will fail long before your body ever does. Endure by Alex Hutchinson. Oh my God. If someone wants a more sportsy side book, amazing. Absolutely fantastic.
And if you want to find your physical limit, go do a Widowmaker.
Which is
20 reps squat. Do it safely, of course.
Put safety pins in.
You did it for like 6 months or something.
6 weeks, yeah.
Squats and mil.
I remember throwing up a raspberry whey down my top quite frequently, like whenever I would train.
Why were you constantly doing something that made you throw up?
This is a good for a life fail, actually. So it was it's a program called Squats and Milk, which is where you have 4.7 litres of whole milk a day. So a gallon, an American gallon of whole milk. And you do Widowmaker.
4.7 litres?
Yeah, so two of the big...
it's a very extreme weight gain strategy.
It was horrible. It ruins your bowels. You absolutely just complete columns of liquid all day. But yeah, so, and then the training program is 3 times a week Widowmaker squats. So you take your 10 rep max, put it on your back, and you're not allowed to rack it until you do 20 reps. So you just, the set maybe takes 3 or 4 minutes.
Of hell incarnate.
Oh yeah, it's really nasty.
And different things happen to people on rep 11. So I taste blood. Audio broadcast loses his hearing. Is that you?
I lose my hearing,
You lose your hearing. So, what happened to him? I can't remember. Different symptoms. It's weird. Yeah. He passes out normally afterwards. But yeah, I've never seen
someone take such a big breath.
The thing is, I remember it happening and thinking, oh, this can't be rep 11. There's nothing magical about rep 11. Every single time, like rep 11, blood. There's no blood. But yeah,
that kind of metal taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's what they call in CrossFit, they call Fran cough.
Fran cough.
Yeah. Right. When you do Fran, you get the
Fran cough.
You get that
face to face with the devil himself.
Yeah, man. So any parting thoughts? Obviously it's Christmas Eve for us right now, technically, kind of.
Merry Christmas.
And loads in the bunch future. Of very morbid
in the future calls. Past of podcast land, it's Christmas Eve.
It is.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.